This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Wayne Kent joins us as he does each and every Wednesday morning. You, of course, listen to the Direct Line tonight at 5 o'clock. Wayne, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well this morning. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. It's been an interesting year and a half. I'm just stunned at how fast time is flying by.
As I was listening to you, as you started the show, you sound like people who have compassion fatigue. I don't know if you're familiar with that language or that term. It's like you give, and then it reaches a point where you're just tired, just simply tired of the needs and the concerns and the real issues of the world that you're facing, and you want to give, but sometimes the well gets a little dry.
Man, that's like some counseling 101 right there.
Right there, just for you and me and the rest of the world listening.
All right, well, I appreciate that. To me, to have compassion fatigue, there's got to be compassion to begin with. I see so very little of it in the world right now. I mean, it's just a mean, ugly place out there.
Yeah, I think that's and compassion fatigue is for those who are involved in compassion work, which isn't an entertainment and an informative work, yeah, but it's also a work where you're saying, how are we helping the community? And then when the community kind of slaps you in the face in the middle of it, or, you know, at times, or which happens to those who are involved in caring for others or providing services to others. It's a very real situation. The solution to it is you got to back up. You got to back up and say, I'm not going to deal with that for a while.
Yeah.
That's why we send out pastors on sabbatical.
Is that, well, you know, you guys are one of the few people that actually get the luxury to do that. And when I say luxury, I don't mean that in a mean way. College professors and ministers. Everybody else.
That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah, it's very biblical. You know, as a matter of fact, in the Bible, every week there was a Sabbath where you would take a break from work. And every 50 years there was something called the Year of Jubilee when everything was a reset. All property went back to original owners. All debts were canceled. It was like, let's take a year. Every 7 years, the land was given a year of fallow, where it said, okay, let's take a break. We're gonna let that field over there for a year rest and gain some strength. Yeah, so it's very biblical. It's very. We have a pastor, two pastors on sabbatical right now, and another one scheduled for the fall. It's based on you work for 7 years, then you get 3 months to. That the church funds for you to go and do some new study and retool.
If you
think about people, they leave their jobs every 5 to 7 years, right? Many people. And when they leave, all that information, all that experience walks out the door. Well, if you could give them 3 months to say, take a breath, we'll fund you to go get some new schooling, some new study, and a bit of rest with family beyond a vacation, think about how much that saves the organization.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. It's one I don't begrudge you. Some people, oh, well, whatever. I think it's a fascinating concept. I just don't know that most people would recognize that or be able to even wrap their arms around that. How widespread is that? Is it most churches?
No, it's not even most churches because we're all products of the Industrial Revolution where, you got to have work output,
mm-hmm.
Run that factory 24/7.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all. So what's the concept then look like? I mean, is the educational part of it mandatory or can you just take 3 months and lay on a beach?
No. The educational part is for us, we say 3 months, 13 weeks, we'll fund it to a certain degree, and within those 13 weeks, you've got to have, if you will, a month of study, a month of rest, and then a month writing for what you want to see happen in your ministry or in the church in the next 5 to 7 years.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
So it's not vacation.
No.
You're still working.
Yeah.
It's just you're not in the office, and you're retooling for, these days, professions change so quickly these days. If you don't retool and restudy and get up with the latest stuff, you're going to be in trouble. Like one of ours right now, one of our guys who is our lead chaplain at DMH and at Crossing Healthcare, he's spending his 3 months working on drug addiction responses and how is the church and how is he or how is our chaplaincy team because we have full-time chaplains at Crossing working in the drug dependency program. How can he lead them more effectively? So he's been to California. He's doing some study in that regard. We have another pastor who's away right now. We've never had it where they're two have gone at the same time. but he's focused on really on the strategic goals of the church for the next year or the next years. And what we have now, because we've offered this, we have more and more of our people who say, I'm going to stick around for that sabbatical. And so we're getting this longevity of people in ministry within our team that is very uncommon in churches.
What is the turnover rate like? I mean, is there some sort of national average with churches?
There's anecdotal stuff that most people, most churches are looking at 4 to 5 years in sort of leading roles. Youth ministers are notorious for being in and out within 18 months. So we've had youth pastors stay long enough. And well, like BJ, who you were talking yesterday, in his role, you would expect most churches would see somebody in that role leave within 4 to 5 years. BJ's coming up on year 12.
Yeah, congratulations to him, by the way. Couldn't be more happy for someone who deserves to be singled out and recognized as a community leader. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. So it's very helpful for us. People go, it seems like it must cost a lot of money. Well, it does cost some money. But again, think of from a straight-up financial understanding, what does it cost to replace an employee in terms of searching and waiting for them to get up to speed and being ready for the days ahead? That's a 2-year process, right? Probably for somebody to really hit the ground and get where they're not being, you know, guided all the time. We just forego all of that. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I don't know if you know, hiring people right now is the same in churches the way it is. I mean, people are just clamoring to get employees, and there is a huge competition out there. And I don't know what it's like. I mean, it used to be it was if somebody moved around a lot, it was a bad thing, right? I mean, that was a warning flag on a resume. Oh, this person's had, you know, 8 jobs in 10 years. Anymore, that's just sort of the standard.
Yeah, I think our world has shifted, not only because of COVID, but our world has shifted. The internet shifted everything.
Yeah.
In my mind, you can go back and say the day that the iPhone, we've chatted about this before, the day the iPhone was introduced is a mark in history that we'll look back 100 years from now and say, that's when it happened right there.
Yeah, it wasn't MySpace then, right?
That's exactly.
Okay.
I haven't heard that word for a long time.
I know. Not everything online works forever. All right, what's coming up tonight at 5 o'clock?
Well, you know, we've lived in the same neighborhood for 20 years, along with a couple other families. Ed Culp lived across the street for us for many years, more recently moved out, and then another couple across the street. And so I'm inviting, we're going to have a neighborhood chat tonight, because we did two guys, Ed Culp, and Kevin Adlaff, are some of my dearest friends. We've done life together for 20 years. And there's so many stories that we just, it's a very, very tight neighborhood. So we're going to do a Won't You Be My Neighbors show tonight. And Vinnie Barbie's going to join us as well halfway through to talk about how he has had such a huge impact upon the neighborhood, if you will, across the community. So we've got stories about skunks down in basement wells. We've got stories about, well, you can put Ed Culp in the room. It's going to be a crazy time. So it'll really be kind of a fun show telling stories. I wanted a break. Like you, I wanted a break from being so serious all the time. Not that I'm always serious, but.
Yeah, listen, it should be like a mandatory requirement every once in a while. So Ed Culp, Wild Man Neighbor, I'm really anxious to see this. You're moving, right? I mean, are you downsizing, or what are you guys doing?
We have.
If you don't know, Wayne's got like Swap Shop going on his Facebook page now.
Well, that's right. Well, what the deal was we bought a house where the people who are selling the house are relocating to Florida, and they have a home in Florida that's already fully furnished. So they didn't want their furniture. And looking at their furniture compared to our furniture is 25, 30 years old with kids and grandkids all over. And this is a couple that have never had children. Their furniture is way better. So we said, okay, we'll take the furniture.
I got it now. All right. That makes a lot of sense. All right. So as we head in to the summer, and as you head into the weekend, and you head into virtual attendance at church, where does all of that stand right now? And where are you like on all of this Delta variant and, you know, 40% of the population of Macon County being vaccinated? What are you guys talking about heading into the rest of the summer and then into what, you know, last fall was a very dangerous time? What are the conversations going on in and around that? I mean, everybody wants to act like this thing is just done and over with.
No, we are not acting that way. And I'll tell you that right up front. We actually had a conversation with our team on Tuesday night and probably Monday night. And like, what happens if this takes place? What are our protocols for this? What are our expectations? We are set that if we had to move back to masking or to, you know, half capacity, we're ready and willing, begrudgingly, of course, but we're ready and willing to do what it needs to do to keep our community safe. When I say the community, I mean the Greater Decatur as well as the community called First Christian Church. This is not something to mess around with. That's what we're in a completely different world than what all of us have experienced. And yes, we've been at it now for 18 months, coming up on 18 months, but my, it ain't over yet.
What do you make of, you know, you're a world guy, you know, born one place, raised somewhere else, moving here, you've been around the world. This reaction isn't American alone. I mean, you can see protesters in the streets in France or wherever you might go. But there is this sense when you think about the greatest generation, or the people that went through World War II, or like that there was more resilience with people. I what has changed in people that we seem to have? I mean, our resilience is like, I don't know, a 24-hour period, you know, and we're already moving on to the next thing?
Our attention span is small or limited. That'd be my guess. I wonder if the television clicker, the television remote control has changed our world. Just a question.
Okay.
If the screen goes, you know, 40 years ago in the 60s or in the 70s, if the screen went blank, you waited till CBS figured out what was going on. And after a while, an adult would say to the 10-year-old, go change the channel.
Right.
But now, if the screen goes blank, that broadcast channel doesn't get but 33 seconds before you're onto something else. And I wonder if that impatience has impacted our culture. I don't know, but the remote control impact is a question I have. This is the same with McDonald's. If we have to wait at McDonald's for 10 minutes, we're going, what's with that? You know, what?
I'll
drive up to the next window and get my food. And if you think about what, and then we complain if the food isn't exactly perfect. You go, how can it be perfect when it's given off an assembly line in 35 seconds?
Yeah, I know. I think the microwave oven and commercial air travel gets thrown into that conversation as well. It's almost like the exact opposite of what you would expect. The more you get, the more you're grateful for, versus the more you get, the more impatient you are. And that is not a very virtuous way to be.
No, exactly. Now, I don't want to slam our culture or slam out, because if I do that, I have to slam myself, because, you know, if I'm going through, say I'm going through a drive-thru and then you say, sir, you'll have to pull forward and we'll bring something out to you. You know what my immediate response is? Well, what's going on back there in the kitchen that you guys can't get it together? And yet, on the other hand, when in history have you been able to drive somewhere, not have to walk, and order food and have it in 3 minutes, and then you get upset if you have to wait an extra 2 minutes. Have we become weird or what?
Yeah, no, it is. And I think that the strange thing in my life is this year I've become more patient, which is such an odd thing, because it's just, you know, there are greater things to worry about and bigger problems to solve, and life is just what it is, and things are imperfect. And I feel blessed for that, Wayne. I really do. This COVID thing, if nothing else in my personal life, gave me more patience.
Well, think about it, if we were living, which we are not, in the third world today.
Yeah, which is still...
Not only have to worry about food and worry about water, where is it going to come from? I mean, we hoarded toilet paper. For crying out loud, that many people in the world don't have toilet paper. If we were living in the third world today and COVID, our life expectancy would drop even further. It's again, I don't want to slam where we live or our present approach, but sometimes a little back, maybe a sabbatical would be a good idea for the whole world.
Just take 3 months off. Everybody gets 90 days off. All right.
Yeah.
Wayne, we'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. We appreciate it. Wayne Kent and the Direct Line.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.